There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25 by the score of 20-19.
When New York sports happens, talk back about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
If that line points on the right bay.
McMonagle here with you. I got you for 3 hours. You know the deal. The warm-up show comes up at 5. But it's me and Rami on the other side. 888-808-1019. Taking your phone calls. We'll get to the Mets as tomorrow is a big day. And one that should end up being a positive one for the Mets. No exceptions. We'll get to it. We'll get to the win yesterday. We'll get to what happens today, later today. But we got to start with the disaster that was that game for the New York Jets. Because, I mean, what a difference a week makes. Because I got to be totally honest with you. A week ago, and I wasn't alone. All right? I want you to just remember this. Because I wasn't alone. We were all there together. We were all praising that performance against the New England Patriots. We were all excited about watching Aaron Rodgers perform that way. We were all praising Nathaniel Hackett and how that game plan was delivered. Everybody associated with the New York Jets, we were praising because that was a night that we have not seen in forever for the New York Jets. Yesterday was the day we have seen over and over for the New York Jets. And it was extremely frustrating on many levels. First off, let's get with what we expect, and then we can get to what was supposed to change or what was supposed to elevate this team. The fears of this team heading into this season that was supposed to be, and still can be, and we'll get to that as well. But what was supposed to be this season of elevated play, where they're supposed to be a playoff team for sure and a possibility of much more than that. And the Hall of Famer in Aaron Rodgers and the talent on the team and blah, 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 blah. What could hold them back? And numero uno, the biggest uncertainty. Many people felt certain about it and they can crow today. The biggest uncertainty about this team was its coaching staff. Nathaniel Hackett had a miserable year as the Denver head coach. Then a miserable year last year without Aaron Rodgers. And we were curious what kind of coach he is. And then, of course, Robert Saleh, who has been handed a tough set of circumstances, in my mind, in the quarterback room in his Jet tenure. And so, for me, it is uncertain. He's never really been given an opportunity to win. And you were wondering how he would handle these circumstances, handle having a quarterback, how he would have this team humming if he was given a legitimate roster and a legitimate offense to go out there and win football games. And yesterday was a disaster, and the same crap we have seen from a Jet team over and over again. 13 penalties. I know we're going to say the same things. I wish I had some creative angle to tell you about why the Jets actually lost. But it is what it is. And everybody who watched the game knows exactly what happened. This team is continually poor prepared. First of all, the penalties, right, which we've seen forever. And I even told you, heading into the season and last year, oh, well, all the pre-snap penalties are going to be taken care of with Aaron Rodgers being the head of the offense and the quarterback. I mean, you've got, you know, Zach Wilson not knowing which way is which. That's why you have all these pre-snap penalties. I mean, it's a disaster, and yet here they are. To the point where the head coach is questioning the way they go about their snap count. And we'll get to that in Rodgers' reaction to that thought. And everyone's going to blow that up. His response, no. I mean, listen, just hold players accountable. We've had no issues with the snap count. Oh, well, you know what? Now there's something rotten in the state of Denmark. Now they don't like each other. Now there's all kinds of problems. You know why? Because losing breeds those questions. And that's why the Jets need to stop this crap. But the penalties, Lazard taunting, running into the returner, I mean, it was just like horrible, hideous penalties that cost them the game. But even more than that, because you know what? They had an opportunity to overcome that against the lousy Broncos and a quarterback, as I heard Laurie say a couple times and totally true, had -7 passing yards in the first half. You can overcome 13 penalties. It would have been a storyline moving forward. Hey, you got to cut down on these penalties. Enough, enough, enough. But it still should have been over a victory. It should have been something we said, hey, this could be a problem in the future. It shouldn't have been something that was a problem yesterday. As much of a problem as it is, they still had an opportunity to overcome it. What kind of offensive game plan did they come up with the week and a half? They played last Thursday. They had a week and a half to come up with a game plan against the Denver defense that, I will tell you, is better than most people would have thought it would have been heading into the season. From week one against Seattle, I thought this defense has played really well. But they are not world beaters. New England's defense was playing better than many thought. And look what the Jets did to them. What kind of game plan? That's the game plan you provide a week and a half of preparing for a lousy Bronco team coming off a great win against Tampa? Having to now go on take on the Jets? With a quarterback who was inept in this game? What is Nathaniel Hackett and Aaron Rodgers doing? And then you get to the quarterback who didn't play well in this game. Just plain out and simple. He was as great as he was the other night. And I know he had, a 14-yard run for a first down. People are going to say he was a statue and didn't move very well. I mean, we know what he's going to be and what he's not going to be. He had a 14-yard run. I thought he moved around in the pocket okay. He didn't look as great in that department as he did the other night against New England. But I don't think it was a major problem. The offensive line got his ass kicked. The offensive line was terrible in this game. Breece Hall was terrible in this game. And it wasn't just the penalties or the game plan. How about easy decisions like going to Allen, your bigger back at the goal line? I mean, we're screaming at Breece Hall played terribly in this game, no doubt. But we talk about the load that this young man is. Why does he not get at least one? All right, the first down, you want to give it to Breece Hall. He's your guy. He's your bell cow. You want to get him a touchdown? Okay, fine. At least one of those carries has to go to your bigger back. At least one. Like, I'm sitting there befuddled they don't make that decision. And he was clearly running better than Breece Hall in this game. I still think Breece Hall is a wonderful player, and I expect him to play much better moving forward. Today wasn't his day. And especially at the goal line. As much as all of our, Breece Hall fantasy owners hate this sentiment, bring in the big stud! Bring him in and run at the goal line. What are you doing? I mean, that's just utilizing your team. That's 101. That's football 101. You've got like thunder and lightning. You got Christian Okoye in the backfield. Use him at the goal line. I don't understand it. But Aaron Rodgers was as inaccurate as I've ever seen him. I thought he was terrible in this game. It's on him, too. It's on him, too. He was terrible in this game. Missing and how come, like, let's get into this for a second. As much as they like to talk, especially last year before he even played, and in this offseason, and we saw some arguments between the two and tough conversations that you felt were probably a positive, that they're working together, trying to establish something. And, you know, every time Aaron Rodgers talks about Garrett Wilson, it's, oh, he's comparing him to 17. Well, you know, other than 17. Why is there such a disconnect between Wilson and Rodgers right now? Why is that not the tandem we thought it would be? Why is he having better games with Zach Wilson than Aaron Rodgers? Why is Lazard and Mike Williams the go-to guys? That's what it felt like. One, it feels like they're trying to get Breece Hall out of the backfield on mismatches against the linebackers. That's like the A-plus matchup they're looking for in the passing game. Why isn't Wilson the A-plus matchup they're looking for in the passing game? Why is Mike Williams the guy making big catches? Why is Lazard having the touchdowns and the big play that he stupidly got 15 yards on a penalty, celebrating it? Like, why is that not a better connection? That's all. Everything I just laid out is coaching. It's coaching. Now, part of it, and you know what? I include Aaron Rodgers and the coaching staff. Like, honestly, we talk about it. Why are we hiding from it now? Oh, he's this. He's the de facto coach. He's the de facto GM. He's de facto this. I praise Aaron Rodgers. I love Aaron Rodgers. I consider him part of the coaching staff. Why the hell has he not helped develop a better communication with his stud wide receiver? Why the hell isn't he stopping all the pre-snap penalties that I thought a Super Bowl MVP caliber quarterback would come in here and put an end to? Why the hell isn't he insisting the better back is on the field? I'm not putting it just at his feet, but they're all connected. Just dumb decisions. Poor play. Sloppy, disgusting play that continues with this coach. I mean, and I went into it saying, we're going to find out about Robert Saleh. And this was a game that is absolutely more of the same and gives you no indication that the Jets are going to get anything helpful out of their head coach. And it feels like now you're going to need performances where everything's clicking for them like it was the other night if they're going to put together a good game plan, if they're going to figure out a way to win. Because if it comes down to clock management, like at the end of the first half, if it's going to come down to smart decisions, if it's going to come down to play calling and game planning, if it's going to come down to all that stuff, it feels like the Jets are going to fail. And they were giving a gift in this game with the missed field goal. An absolute gift. They get the pass interference on that drive. They're set up. They still can't move the ball to make an easy field goal there. Now, Zuerlein's been great, and if you look at the numbers across the league for 50-yard field goals, they've been through the roof. They've been uber successful. Every time you turn around, someone's hitting a 50-yard field goal. And Greg the Leg's got to make that kick. You can say both. You can say he's supposed to make that kick and at the same time say, how the hell do you make him, how do you leave it up to a 50-yard field goal against the Denver Broncos? Both are true. Because if Greg Zuerlein does make that kick, I'm still yelling. We're still complaining. But the Jets are 3-1 heading into this game against Minnesota in London against a team that right now with Sam Darnold looks like one of the favorites to go to the Super Bowl. And you want to talk about coaching. I understand Green Bay made an effort and came back into this game, but you talk about Flores, the defensive coordinator. You talk about what that offense is doing, how dynamic they are. This is going to be a very difficult game heading to London. Very difficult. And this coaching staff is going to have to figure out a way to get this team prepared. And I have zero faith that that is something they're capable of. Zero. But again, into the season, you're concerned about the mobility of the quarterback and the offensive line. That was on display. You're concerned about the head coach. That's clearly on display. You're concerned about the offensive coordinator. Clearly on display. The pass rush, right? That was, you know, with obviously Hassan Riddick not a part of the team. They lose Huff, lose Franklin Myers, who was in this game getting after Aaron Rodgers. No real pass rush to speak of, even though they did hold the quarterback to a miserable start. But two separate times, game on the line, late in the game, the rushing defense allowed that's a quarterback who's got nothing going on. Two separate things with the defense, because as much as they only gave up 10 points, you can still get on them. That touchdown drive, they allowed them to run down the field, and then on what, 3rd and 7 with the game on the line? How do you allow their one weapon in the passing game to be wide open in the back of the end zone? How is Sauce Gardner not on the one receiver who can beat you? Right, overall, just a hideous game plan. And from a coach that I know last year, they kind of exercised that demon when they beat the Broncos with Zach Wilson. But this was with Aaron Rodgers. And this is Sean Payton coming in, you know, drafting a quarterback in Bo Nix who, everyone else is missing the boat. And, you know, Sean Payton's going to turn this guy into an absolute stud. And although he played relatively well against Tampa last week, he's been a disaster. You let Sean Payton come in with a rookie quarterback, play that kind of muddle game. I don't care about the weather. You let him bring in a miserable, to start his career at least, quarterback, a rookie quarterback, and you allow him to come in and win a defensive struggle? When you're the New York Jets and your head coach is a defensive guru? That's an embarrassing loss in a myriad of ways. Just a hideous, embarrassing loss. And now the schedule is not as easy as it looked. And now they're not 3-1 heading into this. Now they've just come off a miserable loss. But having said all of that, I still believe in the talent of this team. And it was only a week ago that we were all praising this team. And Evan Roberts and all the other Jet fans, Evan Roberts started the show making Tiki pinch him because he didn't believe what he saw. And maybe that's all gone. But this is a week-to-week NFL experience. As I'm watching the highlights now of Tampa Bay at home got blown out by these Broncos and then turned around and dismantled the Philadelphia Eagles and are 3-1 and looking like they're going to win the NFC South. It can change real quick. I still believe in this quarterback. I still believe in what the Jets can do. But the major question marks of this team were full front and center in an ugly loss against an inferior opponent when Rodgers himself spoke about the importance of learning how to play as a franchise, as a team. Learning how to play off of a victory. Learning how to play when things are good. Learning how to figure out how to play with momentum. This could have been a momentum builder. This is the kind of game where a good team, a playoff team, a Super Bowl caliber team, which is how we talk about the Jets, at least some of us. And right now it seems ridiculous to say so. But if you are going to be a playoff team, if you are going to be a type of team that can compete with the other upper echelon teams of the AFC, this is a game you win by 2 touchdowns and you move on with your day. And instead, they found themselves in a battle. And when it came down to it, the mistakes that have hurt this team for years resurfaced and cost them a game, and it didn't matter who the quarterback was. The offensive game plan with a week and a half to prepare sucked. The same penalties that have just continued to snake bite this organization under the Robert Saleh era showed up again. The offensive line wasn't any good. And the defense, although tough to kill them when they give up 10 points, bent just enough in the big spots that cost them a game against an inferior opponent at home. That is an ugly loss and a loss that makes you wonder the future of this team and what this season can be. And it's coming off a week where we felt like, here we go. We are finally going to see it. I was on last night, or Saturday night. And I remember thinking, you know, we had the Yankees clinching the number one seed. You had the Mets losing a game to Milwaukee, Arizona. I was watching that as I was on. Like, we had a bunch of different stories. Obviously, the Knicks trade, which we'll get to in the show again. I did it on Saturday night, but obviously I'll do it again for you guys, you loyal overnight listeners. But the Jets were like on the back burner on the night before Football Sunday. They were the fourth or fifth topic, you know, because they're going to go beat the Broncos because now they're the new look Jets. Last week was something where we hadn't experienced it. Today is something we've experienced for years. And it sucks to get dragged back into the same old nonsense that these New York Jets seem to always drag you into every Monday morning. This was supposed to be a different year of Monday mornings. Instead, at 2:20, we're talking about the same crap that we always talk about with this New York Jets team. And it better freaking change. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. So we'll open with the Jets. Take your Jet calls. We'll get to the Mets. And we will get to a set of circumstances that leaves them no excuse to not be a wild card team. There is no excuse. I don't want to hear it. We'll get to it. But I already sense Met fans and some, well, listen, hey, you know, you never know. The Braves aren't going to take that second game lightly, blah, blah. The Mets have no excuse. It will be a disaster of epic proportions. They better do it. They're going to do it. We'll get to the Mets as well. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Knicks trade for Karl-Anthony Towns as well. Busy morning. But we start with the same nonsense every single year. Jets losing ugly football games. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll be right back.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Start some trouble and call The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
I can't believe it.
I can believe it.
Like a trampoline on a city street.
888-808-1019. I can believe it. Another ugly loss from the New York Jets. I can believe it. I was surprised. I mean, I could believe it. I was surprised. I thought this team was going to get on a roll here. I really did. I thought that game last Thursday against the Patriots was the beginning of a roll. Not that they would never lose again or... You know, could they lose to Buffalo? Yeah, absolutely. Even though Buffalo got taken down a peg last night. Could you see them losing to Minnesota in London? Yeah, I mean, I didn't see them losing this game at home. And I know the weather played a role, but not a big enough role where they should have lost the game. You want to make it ugly? You want to muddle it up a little bit? You want to, you know, win a game you should blow out a team by, you know, one score? And maybe they have the ball with... you know, a minute left with a chance to tie or something like that, fine. You can't lose this football game. You just can't. You can't have this kind of offensive performance. You can't not score a touchdown with Aaron Rodgers. You can't do it. Cannot do it. So they're going to have to pick themselves up, head to London, and go take on a Minnesota team that's playing just absolutely balling out. I mean, you're talking about... How about that... Not right now, I want to get to the calls, but when you look back at that draft class and the quarterbacks in it, it's crazy right now. Like, you have either every quarterback in that draft, minus Rosen, has either won an MVP in the discussion every year for an MVP or has resurrected their career where they're in the discussion for an MVP right now. Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield are absolutely in the MVP discussion right now. And Allen and Lamar Jackson are on display last night as two of the best teams in the conference. Lamar's already won two MVPs, and Allen's as talented a quarterback. Like, if you think about it, I mean, and especially now you watch the Cleveland Browns who gave that contract. Oh, my God. I mean, it's just, and it's amazing those two guys failed, but they have hit their stride and look like completely different players. That draft class, theoretically, right now, obviously, there's the Manning, Roethlisberger, Rivers draft class, and then you go back to, you know, Marino and John Elway. But this could end up being one of the great quarterback draft class of all time. And the Jets drafted one of the players we're talking about, and the Giants took a running back instead. Still hate that Saquon Barkley pick. 888-808-1019. Let's talk about more specific things like this Jet game yesterday. John in South Florida. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up, sir?
I was good, buddy. How are you?
Hurricane.
Yeah, how are you doing? Everything? Watching. Are you okay? You and yours all right?
Oh, yes, sir. Everything's fine.
Okay,
down
good.
Here in Miami, we didn't get the bad
weather. You're on the East Coast side. Okay.
Yeah, the far southeast. Mm-hmm. Still another month, though, of hurricane season.
Yeah.
But the reason I called, sir, is I was watching the Hurricanes-Virginia Tech game, and both of those kickers made 57 and 58-yard field goals like it was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that, Zuerlein, they should have drafted? He's 37 years old, right? That's pretty old. And, I mean, he's good, but at 37, they should have had some other kicker.
No, I mean, I don't think that's fair. I appreciate the call, man. And thank you very much. And listen, he missed a kick. He was great last year. I think he's a solid kicker. He's got a great leg. He missed the kick. We've seen missed kicks. I mean, listen, it was tough weather, too. I mean, the Broncos missed a kick just before. Like, the last two kicks were missed. But I agree with you. If you look throughout the NFL, 50-yard kicks are, like, the rate of them, I think this year is the highest in NFL history, the percentage made of 50-yard-plus field goals. But anyone can miss. He missed the kick. He missed the game-winning kick. It sucks. But the game should not have come down to him. We can complain about it, and I think it's fair to say that's a makeable kick for this guy. He's that kind of kicker. He blew it, and he ruined an opportunity for the Jets to win. That's all true. It should not have come down to that. He's not the main talking point of this game. He's not the reason they lost. He had an opportunity to win it and recover them and save them from all the absolute nonsense that went on in that game. He was in that position, and he couldn't get it done. But he is not the story of this game. He is not. I appreciate the call. It should not have been the first comment from the first caller. Like, it's just not. It's just not the issue. It's part of it, but it's not the main issue. He's not the reason they lost. You could argue he's the reason they didn't win, if that makes any sense, if that word salad makes any sense to you. Which, another word salad has become very popular. I found out, like, there are terms, both in sports and politics, in recent years that have become, like, very in the moment. Like, right now, too, word salad politically has become a very, like, every time you see one of these politicians say something or double talk or say something that doesn't make sense necessarily, or it's all, now it's a word salad. And then in sports, it's become unserious. Anybody who loses, doesn't play well, folds in a big spot, makes a decision we don't agree with, they're an unserious organization. I feel like we go through runs of terms that become popular in the lingo. And right now, word salad is very popular when you're talking about politics. And in sports, unserious has become something I hear all the time. And Eli in Brooklyn thinks Robert Saleh is an unserious head coach. Isn't that right, Eli?
Chris, I know you're supposed to be a radio host, but on nights like this, I need you to be a therapist.
That's part of it.
Watching the game.
Yes.
Watching the game,
yes,
and watching that ball go far right.
Yeah.
You just have flashbacks of the last 5 years, the last 10 years, just going through your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said earlier, this team was supposed to be different. This team with Aaron Rodgers at the helm, everything was supposed to finally be different. After going through, yep, last year, four plays into the year, he goes out, finally he comes back. Everything was supposed to be different this,
yep,
year. The fact that I need to be having conversations with my Jets chat going into the year about, could the talent on this team overcome the incompetence of this coaching staff, the incompetence of this head coach? Why? What has Robert Saleh shown to be given a fourth year? 15 penalties, 10 days since the last game, 15 penalties, 13 accepted penalties, half of them coming pre-snap, full start, lining up in the neutral zone. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
The fact that this guy is at the helm, this guy is the person that we're putting our faith in, putting our trust in to run this team, to lead this team. The guy has been a joke. The guy has been incompetent from day one. From day one when we were 7-4 2 years ago in 2022, and then we lost six straight games down the stretch to blow it and go 7-10 and lose that. To last year, to this year. It's ridiculous that he still has this job. It's ridiculous that we still have to rely on him. And did you hear what he said after the game? After the game, he blamed, for all intents and purposes, he blamed the pre-snap penalties on Aaron Rodgers. He said, maybe we have to dial back the cadence a little,
yeah,
bit. Who the hell do you think you are? This is Aaron Rodgers over here. That's one of the things that made him great. One of the reasons why he's arguably a top five, top three quarterback of all time is the way, yeah, he goes to the line of scrimmage and he manipulates the defensive line.
Yeah.
And the fact that Robert Saleh could come out and say that, oh, we have to dial back the cadence, and Rodgers shot back at him. He was like, no, maybe we should just hold people accountable.
Yeah.
The fact that this guy is at the helm is ridiculous. The fact it's season suicide. It's season suicide that we're putting our faith in this guy, that this is the guy at the helm, as the head coach, that we're expecting to bring us over the top.
Eli, that was a very good rant, my brother. Actually, let's play those cuts because I want to respond to his thoughts about what was said in the postgame. So let's play what Robert Saleh had to say about the pre-snap penalties, which has been a problem for years with the New York Jets and was under, and especially last year. And I said, and I felt very confident in saying, when Aaron Rodgers plays, they're going to go away. Now, even in the cut we're going to hear, Aaron Rodgers talks about the idea that it hasn't been an issue for this team before today. But today it was. But let's hear that exchange where Robert Saleh makes a comment on what he thinks could help solve the issues of the pre-snap penalties, and then Rodgers' response when he's told of the comments.
We got to figure it out. Whether or not we're good enough to handle all the or ready to handle all the cadence. Cadence had not been an issue. All camp felt like our operation had been operating pretty good. Obviously, today it took a major step back.
Okay, and then here's Aaron Rodgers' response when told about that.
Been a weapon. We use it every day in practice. We don't, you know, we rarely have a false start. And to have, I don't know, five today, it seemed like, four or five. Yeah, that seems like an outlier. I don't know if we need to make mass changes based on, you know, kind of an outlier game.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you listen to that, one, Aaron Rodgers, when you say Aaron Rodgers snapped back, like Aaron Rodgers was defending what, as was eloquently put by the callers, part of his game that has helped him lead a successful offense. So while when I listen to that, I don't hear Robert Saleh blatantly, like he's talking about maybe we have to figure it if we're good enough to do it. It could have been a problem today. But I mean, I don't think it was like calling out the quarterback or anything. He says it wasn't a problem before today, but maybe it's something we can think of. Like he's spitballing there and he shouldn't be. And I didn't like the comments, but I got to be fair. Like, do you think, like, he hasn't been here long enough to call that an outlier? Like, that's the other part of that, too. Aaron Rodgers, he can call it an outlier all he wants. Jet fans don't feel like it's an outlier. Like, it has been a problem for this team for a while. Is that Robert Saleh blaming it on him? I mean, I don't take it that way necessarily. But right now, yeah, if I'm going to, I talked about this yesterday, about the dynamic of these two. To me, they're on par with each other. There is not a head coach quarterback typical relationship. This is a partnership. And right now, that sounded like, to me, a conversation that they should probably have behind closed doors that they were spitballing to the media, which is more of the problem I have than the actual thought. The actual thought of maybe we need to tone it down seems reasonable to me. I don't know if it's right or wrong. You should be able, as an NFL team led by Aaron Rodgers, to have the capability of handling it. But that sounds like a spitballing idea that he shouldn't have said publicly. And I have no problem with what Aaron Rodgers said, other than to call it an outlier. And then he referred, I was listening to him as well, later in the press conference, later in that answer, he calls the entire performance an outlier. Like, the offense hasn't played well other than 2 weeks ago. Let's be honest, they didn't play well week one, clearly. And even in the victory against Tennessee, it wasn't really that impressive of an offensive performance. They've had 1 week. Last week, right now, seems like the outlier. Not yesterday. Let's be fair. So I think there's enough there on the plate to get mad at Robert Saleh for what we saw on the field. I don't think we need to take it to the postgame sound. I honestly don't. I've never really put that much stock in the postgame sound anyway. I don't think there's a major problem between the two guys. I don't. I think if they win this game and those comments are said, we don't care. The Jets need to win to stop all this nonsense. And then just the more basic point of Robert Saleh in general. I don't know. I still think, as disappointed as I am in the performance, to say this is season suicide because they have Robert Saleh as the head coach, I don't know if he provides anything that helps uplift the team. But I also don't know if he's the death knell that Aaron Rodgers and this talented roster can't overcome. I'm not there yet. I'm just not there yet. Because, again, you mentioned previous seasons. He managed to win games with Zach Wilson. He did not have the first-round pick. He did not have the first overall pick. He did manage to win games last year. They beat the Buffalo Bills on the day Aaron Rodgers went down. They beat the undefeated Philadelphia Eagles. They beat the New York Giants. With Mike White, they won games against Cincinnati. He's had zero offense. And while the same problems continue to persist, and while by no stretch of the imagination am I saying he is a good head coach, he has not shown that either. But one lousy performance after last week, let's be honest, we forget already what last week was. And I understand it's a week-to-week thing. This was such an ugly performance, we can hate it. And we can forget about what happened last Thursday. One game here does not make me know for sure that Robert Saleh is going to be a hurdle this team can't overcome. He has shown me nothing where I can say he is a positive. He has shown me nothing where I say, oh, I feel good about the head coaching matchup heading into this game. He has shown me nothing that he will uplift the team and make good sound decisions that will actually help them win. That's fair. But a death knell because of the penalties? When, again, I put a lot of this on Aaron Rodgers. Like, he's the leader of this offense. We talk about it. Robert Saleh isn't there. Like, the Robert Saleh isn't the offensive head coach. That is the Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett show. Now, there are still defensive penalties, totally agree. And just the overall mindset of the team, making smart decisions, running into the returner, you know, having, you know, taunting penalties because of, you know, gun motions or whatever else. Like, those are all of it's on the head coach ultimately. But I have to admit, last year, and this is just for me, you can feel different. Last year, I specifically said, I remember saying it a bunch. Look at all of these, when defending Robert Saleh and the pre-snap penalties. When everyone would say, oh my God, the same pre-snap penalties, it's on the coach, it's on the coach. And I would say, Zach Wilson is lost. If Aaron Rodgers is in there, you can forget the pre-snap penalties. He's the best at the line of scrimmage that the NFL has. And up until this point, that's sort of played out until today. So I have a hard time when I said that Rodgers would fix it, when Rodgers is the head of the offense, when him and Nathaniel Hackett run the show, when they've been working on this since camp. Is it a veiled shot at him from the head coach? Maybe. Is it still more on Aaron Rodgers and this offense than the head coach? Those penalties specifically? I would say yeah. I would say those penalties specifically are just as much. If we're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers as someone who's a de facto coach, someone who's a de facto GM, runs the offense, him and Nathaniel Hackett, then he doesn't skirt the blame. I understand your point. Oh, he's the Hall of Famer. You're a lousy head coach. I get it. Doesn't change the fact that it's on him too. If we're going to praise him for changing this team, we have to admit he's the leader of the offense, and the pre-snap penalties and the false starts are as much on Rodgers as the head coach. Rocco in Saratoga. What's up, Rocco?
Good morning, Chris. I think the extended weekend, the Giants played Thursday, was an example of the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
The good, the Yanks. Okay. Right?
We depends on who you talk to. They lost the last two series of the year. That meant absolutely nothing. So everyone's still up in arms about that.
Yeah, well, hey, you don't want to go in losing. You want to go up positive. You should be winning as many games as you possibly can. No, at times they did not look good recently. So hopefully by Saturday, they, you know, come around and they're all ready to play, especially Judge. You know, especially the playoffs with him.
Yeah.
Love the guy, 58 home runs regular season, 62 all time. You know, but this is what you play the whole year for.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, so he's got to come through. You know, Soto and him, no excuses. All right.
Let's get to the bad and the ugly. Yeah. We have time for you.
Okay, the bad, the Giants. Just plain bad.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't score a touchdown for anything. All right? We don't even need to talk anymore about that. I mean, they won the road. They were Dallas. No one was expecting them to win. But,
well, they were home against Dallas.
When are they going to be good?
I have no idea. I have no faith that the Giants are going to be good anytime soon.
There you go. There you go, Chris. We have no idea, right? That's the problem. That's the problem. Okay. And the ugly, the Jets. Oh, ugly. That was ridiculous. No, they lost the game. The bottom line comes down, not the field goal, not misplays, not using the big low, heavy low to get a touchdown. The penalties.
Yeah.
Without those penalties, you don't sustain drive. You would have had a touchdown. You would have had at least two field goals. Penalties kill everything. Momentum, the drive, they are the bane of football. They were JV penalties. Like grandkids games get penalties like that.
No, I understand, Rocco. And, yeah, I mean, the taunting penalty is a tough one after a big play. Obviously, lining up in the neutral zone, the false starts, running into the, even like, that's just, I mean, that just can't happen. You just can't blatantly run into the returner. But I look at a lot of different things, too. It's not just that. It's the offensive game plan. It's the offensive line's performance. It's the inability to score a touchdown at the goal line. Like, that's, you want to talk about what Aaron Rodgers does? Aaron Rodgers scores touchdowns inside the red zone. That's what Aaron Rodgers does. That's what Hall of Fame quarterbacks do. You've got to get in the end zone there. You just have to. I mean, the penalties are bad too, but again, in that exchange, you know, right now, Aaron Rodgers is the four-time MVP, Hall of Fame quarterback, come here to save the day. And in an exchange, no fan is going to take the side of Robert Saleh. And I'm not even saying they should. But if we're going to praise Rodgers, and we're going to call him the offensive leader and the offensive coach, you know, the pre-snap penalties are on him too. The inability to create a relationship with Garrett Wilson yet, that's on him too. Like, this offensive performance on Nathaniel Hackett and Aaron Rodgers and then the head coach, because that's the dynamic. That's the dynamic. When we say coaching, it's not just Robert Saleh. Peter in Manhattan. What's up, Peter?
How you doing, Chris? Yeah, on a personal note, Chris, my son's supposed to visit me next Saturday from Tennessee. And the earthquake, the hurricane, that's just shut every route to the airport off. So I don't think I'll be coming. But anyway,
I'm sorry to hear that.
On the game today, forget about the Jets. I mean, Peyton basically handed the game to the Jets. I couldn't believe they're trying to kick a field goal within 1 minute. I said, boy, the Jets have a shot here. He's going to miss a field goal and come down and run.
Well, he's a very reliable field goal kicker. I mean,
it was long. It was great. It was long. I mean, you punted, Chris, you punted inside the five. No timeouts left. The Jets are
I mean, yeah. I mean, you punt. Yeah, sure. If you could guarantee me you punted inside the five. How many punts inside the five have you seen in the NFL? Like, I mean, it happens, but like it could easily go into the end zone, and now they're at the 20, and you feel differently about it. And it's Aaron Rodgers. You don't want to give him the ball. Only needs is a field goal. And you got a Greg Zuerlein who knew you're going to miss a 50-yarder, but he's Greg the leg. I mean, he's got a good leg, and you expect him. He can make a long field goal. I understand. I don't think it's giving. It's a questionable decision. I think you would have a valid argument to make your case. But I do see it the other way, and I don't know if you could call it giving the game away. That's all. I do understand your point, but I just don't think it's given. I don't think it's such a ridiculous call that you could say, oh, it's just giving the Jets the game.
Not giving it away, having a shot at the game. That's what I thought. Yeah. But with the Jets, you know, no matter what happens, Chris, you know, I've been following for so many years, no matter what the offensive line they put in, still the same. They can't protect anybody. They can't score in the red zone. The penalties within the 5-yard line.
Yep.
I mean, everything. There's no excuse for them losing, especially scoring 9 points. So that's my point. I mean, I'm fed up watching this team. But anyway, Chris, hope your family's doing well.
Oh, thank you, too.
Thanks for taking my call. And I agree with everything you said.
You got it. Thank you, buddy. Yeah, no, listen, I mean, it is the same. That looked like a Jet game. Like, we thought we were above it. We thought we were past that. They could lose. Maybe not yesterday, but the Jets aren't going to go undefeated. No one's ready to put them in the Super Bowl just yet. The conversation's out there, but no one's really saying the Jets are clearly a Super Bowl team. But we thought, if you told me the Jets, I would not have thought the Jets would lose as long as Aaron Rodgers was healthy and playing. And that's now he's banged up. I mean, I think he'll be okay, but he's banged up. If you told me that Aaron Rodgers was healthy, I would not have thought the Jets would lose a single football game this year where the opponent scored 10 points. That's impossible. If you told me the Jets give up 10 points, I would bet the farm that the Jets win that football game. Aaron Rodgers isn't going to score 11 points. I never would have thought that. That's a performance I didn't see coming. It's a performance from Breece Hall I didn't see coming. It's a performance from Aaron Rodgers I didn't see coming. It's a performance from Rodgers, Garrett Wilson I didn't see coming. You could see the penalties coming. You could see the defense, you know, bending at the wrong time and breaking at the wrong time and allowing a touchdown and a field goal when they were dominant all game. That we've seen before. Dominant first half, dominant third quarter, just enough to lose the game late in the game. We've seen that from the defense. But I thought this offense was too good to lose a game when the opponent scores 10. I thought they were too good. So we can complain about the defense in those moments. Absolutely. Not there. This is on the offense. And this is on Aaron Rodgers. It's on the coaching staff, which, again, I consider Aaron Rodgers a coach. He is the coach on the field. He is making decisions. He's made decisions on personnel. If you're going to complain about Robert Saleh and not get on Aaron Rodgers, he literally could have another head coach right now. If Rodgers wanted another head coach, that's why I find it a little laughable that we are so hung up on the idea, the shove the other day, and now they're clapping back at each other in the post game. If he really didn't like Robert Saleh, he would have moved on from him. He would have said, hey, Woody, new guy. If he didn't like Nathaniel Hackett, hey, let's get a better offensive coordinator in here. Last year was a disaster. Even I have to admit it. Move on. He didn't. He wanted these guys. So if you're going to be one of the main reasons the coach is still here, you're the 4-time MVP Hall of Fame quarterback, supposed to lead this organization into a brand new era, you bet your ass it's on you when the freaking team has four or five false starts. You bet your ass when the consistency consists to be pre-snap penalties on the offense that it's on you. Absolutely. Aaron Rodgers is not skirted of blame. Everyone hates Robert Saleh, and he's got his plenty of reasons to be mad at him today. He does not own all of it. Limo driver Ed, what's up, limo driver Ed?
Hey, Chris, how you doing, buddy?
I feel like once I call you limo driver Ed, I have a hard time just going straight to Ed from that point on, and I probably should. I should probably just say limo driver Ed, and then the rest of the phone call, you're just Ed.
Hey, it's all right, brother.
Okay.
It's all right.
What's going on?
Hey, listen, you know what? Like my boys said, everybody in the AFC either got two or three losses. Everybody around the league.
And the Chiefs are kind of falling apart.
Right.
I mean, they've gotten
the Chiefs should be 1-3 right now.
It sounds like Rice tore his ACL.
Yes,
right?
He does.
I mean, they're not going to have Pacheco for another 7 or 8 weeks. They yep. Offensively, mm-hmm. they haven't done much. They were lucky to win this game against the lousy Chargers. So, I mean,
and Kelsey, and he's all over the world hanging out with his girl, so he ain't got time for football.
Well, yeah, I think he had. I think him and his brother. I think
so,
he had a better game. Yeah, I hear you. He had a better game this week, but yes, that's part of it too. And they just don't look the same. But and
no, they don't.
No,
they don't. But you know, the thing is with us too is, and I see a lot of teams do it. When you're being sacked or you're being every play, I watched them. They ran. They, you know, what they did with Denver did is, you know, they rushed. You know, they blitzed. Please, can someone just throw, boom? You know, one of the things. Only thing you got to do is do one of the things that it makes it much better for us to get. You know, just throw the ball to the wide receiver or just throw the ball. You know, anything. You know, to our running backs. You see them rushing. Just toss it over to them. Offensive line or the block.
Yeah, I mean,
Jets never do it.
No, I don't know about that. Throw it to the running back. That's how they lived for the first 3 weeks. I mean, Breece Hall and Allen were getting, I mean, they were the Tennessee win, both touchdowns were to running backs. I mean, they were throwing, they've been checking down. They've been taking what the defense has given them. Up until Thursday night against New England, that's how the offense was running. They had trouble adjusting to the pressure of Denver, no doubt. The rain probably played an element to it. The offensive line couldn't block, and I thought that Aaron Rodgers had a real tough time throwing the ball in the elements. There were a couple times where he threw the ball at people's feet. I just thought he had a bad game.
Even when he did throw it to Breece, he threw it on the inside. If he throws it a little further upfield,
right.
It's probably a touchdown.
On the wheel route down by the end zone, yep. That could have been a touchdown. He had him. He had a step. I thought I just thought everything about this game. It's easy to blame coaching, and certainly there's no doubt. Number one on the list, but it's not the only thing. And I just, especially the offensive pre-snap penalties, it is on Rodgers. Now, whether or not that's a dumb thing to say and mention it in the postgame, I'm open to that. Robert Saleh has put his foot in his mouth a bunch. And I don't know who's wrong or right, or whether it is something they should dumb down. I don't know. And I don't know if that's the reason the offensive line was struggling. But what I do know is that that's Aaron Rodgers' offense. It's his offense. It's his. Robert Saleh has very little to do with the offense. That's why you felt okay about, like Rodgers has come in, and it's him and Nathaniel Hackett running the offense. When the offense have a penalty, I have a hard time just strictly blaming it on the head coach. There were plenty of other penalties to go around. And we've seen penalties be a problem with this coaching staff in the past. But the offensive game plan is much more troubling to me. We could talk about what specifically lost this game. And you could argue the penalties in numero uno. But you had a week and a half to prepare for a Denver Broncos team. Like, all right, the defense is better than we thought heading in. They've played pretty tough, and they get after the quarterback a little bit. You have a week and a half to prepare. You saw it. They've been playing well. They didn't just pop up and play well. They beat the crap out of Tampa Bay. They held Geno Smith to a miserable first half in week one. They've been playing well. They've had this on tape. They know what the Broncos do. They had a week and a half to prepare, coming off of an incredible win against New England that had the whole fan base pinching themselves because they've never seen anything like it. And you follow it up with this? It's not just. It's the coaching staff. It's not just Robert Saleh. It's Nathaniel Hackett. It's Aaron Rodgers. Those are the two offensive coaches. And they had a miserable day. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Continue to take your jet calls. We will get to the Mets here. Because today is a huge day in Mets history. This could either be a moment where a team that nobody believed in. And if you're not sure if that's true, just ask them. They'll tell you. They continue to use that line. But this is a team, 0-5, about to be 0-6. A team 11 games under 500 that has worked its way all the way back to needing one victory later today to punch its ticket to the postseason. And it'll be the culmination of one of the more fun memorable, unexpected Mets seasons in history that will culminate in a playoff appearance with an opportunity to do damage. Or it will be one of the worst and darkest days in Mets history. It's going to be fun. We'll get into it next. 888-808-1019. Nick Monagle here with you on The Fan, taking you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. We'll be right back.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.